Well, I'm using the Revised Standard Version Bible today because the New International Version Bible is drying out. It's the same Bible that I left on the top of my car about a month and a half ago. Well, I was drinking coffee while reading it this morning. I spilled it on the Bible. So anyway, it's drying out, so I'm using a different translation this morning. But we are in the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, and no envy of one another. Have you ever read a book or a magazine article or newspaper article or even watched a movie in which the characters or storyline themselves were described were so unappealing and repulsive that it was difficult to finish reading the book or watching the movie? I know it happens to everyone at one time or the other. Oh, it's been a couple of months ago. I was at Walmart, and they have a $3.73 DVD barrel. So I went wading through it. And oh, my goodness, I thought I'd found the classic movie of all time, Machine Gun Preacher. It was a kind of a cross with Rambo meets Billy Graham. You know, it's that type. Well, I started watching it. And the first 5 minutes were filled with so many, let's say, vulgarities. It went on in the violence. Who didn't get shot and killed? Somebody said a bad word at them. I'm not saying I'm a Puritan or anything like that, but you can only stand so much. The funny thing about it was they said they offered a family edition of the movie. Well, if they did, it probably only be about 21 minutes long. I mean, everything in it. But I finally just decided, hey, you know, there's a couple other movies I'd rather watch better, so I ended up throwing it in the garbage can. But that was a movie I did not really take to very quickly like that. Paul listed both negative and positive attributes of people in his epistle there. The previous list, I read the good part, the positive points of people, but the negative is quite interesting about works of the flesh. It says works of the flesh are immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. So those were the negatives, and Paul said stay away from those. But in the meantime, we are to try to remember and try to edify that gift of the Spirit, which is positive, which is very positive. And these positive characteristics is the focal point of the message, which may alleviate trouble or conflict between people. It goes without saying that we shun people who aren't uplifting or positive in attitude. Have you ever asked somebody how they're doing and they read you a 40-minute speech on how they're really doing? You just wanted to ask out of courtesy. But they always are finding something wrong with themselves or somebody else about them. So we know personally a lot of times that not everybody is on the wave of being positive in their lives. But most of us are in the middle or a mixture of both. We can't deny it, but we are in that category. Paul believed that we should strive to relinquish those negative attributes and sincerely nurture those qualities correctly labeled as the fruit of the Spirit. The saying that nice guys finish last doesn't hold much water with Paul. Paul truly believed that Christians are guided by the Holy Spirit. The result would reveal or demonstrate to others without being pretentious that we truly belong to God. You remember in verse 26 it says, let us have no self-conceit. We shouldn't flaunt our pieties around. We shouldn't flaunt our virtues around. We should live them. We should walk with them. We should apply them. But we should not stand back and say, look how good I am. That's not what it's all about. It's applying those virtues which counts the most there. People for centuries have written books or pamphlets on conduct and good manners. Benjamin Franklin wrote one. George Washington wrote one. Wonderful. It still holds up today. Remember Emily Post's Book of Etiquette? There's still, I think it's in the 24th edition now. I've got the first edition, so it's pretty like that. And then sometimes we forget courtesy and manners, but more specifically, we forget that when it comes to our faith. And here is a reminder in this epistle how our behavior is always, always, always checked by our faith. Your faith will tell everything about you. So we have to be really on the ball and continually be in communion with God, because that will signal that our faith is growing and not weakening. The underlying message of Galatians is freedom in Jesus Christ. Paul was concerned about the encroachment of legalism into the church. It had spelled disaster for Judaism, and Paul wasn't going to stand idly by to witness the same spiritual disease claim its next victim, the church. I think ever since I've been in the ministry, I've always had the battle with legalism, and I've always preached that legalism is a canker. It's a canker sore upon the church. And once it invades, it's hard to get rid of it. But more specifically, once it invades your life, it is even more difficult to get rid of it. Sometimes we mix the two together, our faith and legalism, and we can't tell the difference. Or sometimes there's superstition comes in. I had a woman tell me at one church, don't you ever sow on Sunday, it's bad luck. Or don't ever cut your hair, cut your fingernails, or whatever. Now, where's that in the Bible? I don't see it in the Bible. And by the way, just finished reading it through for the 92nd time. So I've never seen those little attributes in the Bible like that. It's superstitious. It's things that have no basis in our faith. But legalism will destroy your faith if you're not careful, because legalism says that you can't do it without going through this step, jumping through hoops of fire. And of course it said that, like Judaism was completely captivated by that. When people adhere to legalism, they become robotic with little spiritual qualities about them. Their actions abandon any likeness to Jesus Christ. Going back to the movies, have you ever seen at the end of a movie where it says any resemblance to persons either living or dead is purely coincidental? Well, you know what? It goes to show that there may not be any connection with any living person. As Christians, we should not have that little caption. We should resemble Jesus Christ, and it should be resemblance daily in our lives. And people of faith must take their faith seriously in order to say, I identify with Jesus Christ. The composition of legalism likewise blurs Christ's image within us. For the legalist, it is far more important to be rigid in loyalty to a set of rules than to love one another and spread tranquility and peace. I remember an elder in a former church of mine, she thought it was a cardinal sin to put flowers on the communion table. She said, oh, that's against God. That's going against God. Then one day the florist, a member of the church was a florist, she brought a big bouquet of flowers in and set on the communion table. She couldn't do anything about that. Legalists couldn't, because she knew this woman was a big giver in the church. So sometimes we're going to be checkmated if we're not for sure. Legalism is, as I said, legalism is poison to the faith system in any way you look at it. To dot every I and to cross every T is the foundation for the legalist. And as I said, it's far more important to have those set of rules than to love one another and spread tranquility and peace to people there. You know, the modern example for achieving the best traits in human beings could be described in a legendary book. Have you all ever heard of How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie? This book came out originally in 1937, and I think this is, I don't know, the umpteenth edition of it. But this book helps people to realize, you know what, you can be doing something better than what you've been doing. And I like this book. It's a class. They also have classes on it. Now that I promote it, I'm not getting any money out of it there, by the way. But anyway, freedom in Christ opens up a new universe that goes contrary to the so-called dog-eat-dog mindset, which governs a lot of people. Paul said in his book in Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind one to another." That's difficult to do. Be kind one to another. Because if we have that dog-eat-dog mentality, we're not going to be kind. But we have to go through with it because we are not legalists. And besides, those negative attributes will all come out in the washing in the long run. Some theologians argue that St. Paul and St. James were at odds on the subject of faith and good works. See, the legalist excuse is that, well, you know what, I'm not doing this in the church because that's good works and I don't need it because it doesn't apply to my salvation. See, that is really dotting the I and crossing every T. We have to be careful that our actions aren't justified by something that's legalistic, because James and Paul worked well together. Faith and good works do go together. The good works are a reflection of our faith. It's an offshoot of that faith that we have. So Paul said we must be in complete harmony with the Holy Spirit in order for us to pursue a victorious life of freedom in Jesus Christ. We're sometimes caught in a whirlwind, and it seems very difficult to get out of it. Albert Schweitzer, the renowned medical missionary to Africa, had a remedy for people who were frustrated about their faith. Perhaps they were struggling with legalism in their life. A lot of do-gooders would fly to French Equatorial Africa every year where Schweitzer had his famous medical clinic, and they would want to help out. But then once they got there, they were so awed by Dr. Schweitzer that they'd stand and gawk at him and wouldn't do anything at all there at the hospital. Well, Schweitzer was a busy physician. He had patients to attend to. So did the staff. So they didn't have time to go mollycoddling and babysitting a bunch of tourists who were there. So Schweitzer put a remedy to these people who needed a little boost to their faith, a little Mountain Dew Code Red to their faith. He would hand them a hammer and said, "Go to that building. We need some more planks put in it." So they would start hammering away, and they would get busy, and guess what? They would forget all about their problems, and they would start realizing how their faith was growing by doing those little chores of hammering a nail into a wall. You wouldn't believe it, but it worked. And Schweitzer was a genius when it came to that. It was a surefire remedy, and it cured any faith problems. And it kept them from getting bored, too. Keeping active motivates us from developing a malaise or throwing a pity party for ourselves. You find me a person who's having a pity party, and you'll find a very dormant person. A status quo type of person. And it's not saying, don't get me wrong, clinical depression is a completely different ballgame. I am not saying anything like that. But what I'm saying sometimes when we have those blue dog days or something where it seems, maybe perhaps it's time you get out and maybe help the neighbor out or do something like that. But we cannot fall into that category of excusing our actions because of something legalistic in there. That's not to be done. Prior to the war between the states, runaway slaves would sing a spiritual hymn called "Get Aboard the Freedom Train." Like many of us who are spiritual runaways who need to catch that freedom train, it is quite simple to be held captive. by this legalistic religion, which offers little in spiritual comfort. St. Paul wanted everyone to experience the liberating spirit of Jesus Christ. Grumbling, griping, and complaining isn't faith. It's a three-letter word, S-I-N, sin. Griping, grumbling, and complaining. Be free now and enjoy the bountiful goodness of a blossoming faith in Jesus Christ, and you won't go wrong. Shall we pray? Oh, gracious God, sometimes in our faith, we step into quicksand. And sometimes, oh Lord, we get so rigid in our mindset, we forget about the Holy Spirit's power to help us move and move freely, oh Lord. Help us to retain that liberty we have in you and not fall prey to legalistic ideas that can cramp our faith. We ask, oh God, at this time to release us from that. Through the name of Christ our Savior, amen.